Blog Talk Radio.
I was riding with the campus pastor at that time and his wife, and I was sitting in the back seat, and as we were going through the city, we passed a bar, and all of a sudden a fight broke out, and we kept riding, and one of the persons in the car remarks, "Well, that's a shame, they in that fight, they ought to be in church." And I thought that, and I said, "But who's gonna tell them? Jesus loves them. Who's gonna tell them there's a better way?
Yes.
Who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them, so God can turn their nights today?"
Thank you, Lord.
I'm gonna say it again. I'm gonna say it. Who's gonna tell him Jesus loves him? Who's gonna tell him there's a better way? Who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them, so God can turn their night to day? Somebody's gotta warn them. Somebody's gotta tell them. Would you help me say somebody?
Somebody's gotta warn
them. Oh, yeah, somebody gotta tell them.
Somebody's gotta tell them.
So I wanna ask you, wherever you are, who's gonna tell them?
Who's gonna tell them?
Jesus. Who's gonna tell them? Stay with me, somebody gotta warn them.
Somebody gotta
tell them.
Somebody's gotta tell.
So I need some volunteers to raise your hand, raise your heart and say, I'm gonna tell them.
I'm gonna tell them.
Jesus loves them.
Right.
They're waiting on you, they're waiting on me, they're waiting on the
sun.
Oh, na na na, na na na, na na na. somebody
tonight.
I hope you will tell somebody
tonight.
Glory to God.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, November 20th, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Cook, but as always, I am joined by the anointed servant leaders of the Spirit Alive family in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and of course, our beloved Apostle Zeta Flowers. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. Pray that on this day you will hear a word from the Lord that will uplift your spirit and bless your very soul. Now at this time we are going to go to opening prayer with Minister Tina Brown. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace just thanking you for another day you've given us to praise and worship you today, Heavenly Father, with the Spirit Alive Network. We thank you for all the folks that are listening near and far that will hear your message, and those who are listening who haven't received you as their Lord and Savior in the pardon of their sin will come to want to make you their Lord and Savior today after they hear this message, Heavenly Father. We pray for the messenger who will be delivering the message today, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for the message that we'll be receiving on this thankful Sunday. We want to praise, give you all the praise and the glory for everything you do for us, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful for the blessings you give us each and every day in having a place for us to come and call home as our worship service. In Jesus
yes,
Christ,
Lord.
I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name.
We're living in a time
Thank
where
you.
Everybody is struggling for their lives. The stress, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you.
Lord,
I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
Ooh, I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die.
Let's not lose another person to a senseless death. Substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing
that. I speak life, you're gonna live.
Don't give up the fight.
hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, we ask our beloved mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come forth, and she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning again, everyone, and good morning to all those out there that I haven't said good morning to. I love each and every one of you. The message, the meditational reading and the message this morning is One Thing is Needful, is the title. We'll be looking at Proverbs 4, 20 through 21. It reads, My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Amen. Now, George Miller, who lived in the 1800s, cared for more than 2,000 orphans in his five large orphanages. But he never allowed his huge responsibility to take him away from the Word of God. He said that every day he would set aside time to study the scripture until his inner man was happy in the Lord. Now, once Miller met a man who worked between 14 and 16 hours every day. He told the man, you are destroying your health. You don't have time for your family. And most importantly, you don't have time to nourish your inner man with the word of God. Excuse me. The man replied, I hear you, but I can't see how I can cut down my working hours and spend time in the Word, because even with the 14 to 16 hours I put in each day, I still can't put enough bread on the table for my family. As the man walked away, Miller said, he doesn't believe that if he gives time to God's Word first, God will take care of all his needs. Likewise, do you really believe that every day only one thing is needful? Even if the bills don't get paid, the children are not making any headway in their studies, and the office work is not completed. All these things can wait. Only one thing is needful. That you spend time in the Word of God. When Martha complained to Jesus that her sister Mary had left her to serve alone, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. Jesus defended Mary by saying, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And you can read more of that in Luke 10, 41, and 42. My friend, you will not lose out when you take time to sit down and listen to God's word. Even your health and well-being will be blessed. Proverbs 4 and 22 will tell you more about that. So take time today to meditate on his word. He will make your way prosperous, Joshua 1, 8, and 9, and give you divine health and good success. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favors to the readers, hearers, and especially doers of his holy and righteous words. The thought for today, you will not lose out when you take time to sit down and listen to God's word. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It's now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is the time together, hallelujah, as a family, on one accord, hallelujah, with one heart setting, one mind setting. That mindset is to stand in the gap. Brothers and sisters, all over. Keeper. And he has told his children that if we abide in him and he abides in us, we can come to his throne of grace boldly and ask what we will, and it shall be done. And we here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, we believe that with all that is within us. So when we pray expecting God to move. Hallelujah. We pray believing that he will show up and show out on our behalf. We pray knowing that he is able.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm going to ask that you bow your hearts, clear your minds, and prepare to stand in agreement with the anointed apostle of God, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she leads us to the throne of grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We are going to go into prayer. We're going to go boldly to the throne of grace today. Amen. Let us all bow our heads, our hearts, and prepare, hallelujah, to go boldly to the throne of grace. There is a need across the nation. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you as we always do, thanking you for all that you are.
Yes.
Because you are everything to us.
Yes, Lord.
So we thank
Lord.
You. Thank
yes.
you. We thank you for being mindful of us all
yes.
during the week.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you for how you have watched over us, how you have protected us from
yes,
harm
Lord.
And unseen harm. We thank
yes,
you.
Lord.
We thank
yes.
you for being with us everywhere we go. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we're not left without you at any
yes.
time. So we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you. We thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you that we have the privilege to continue to come to you and in prayer and asking for what we need. We thank you mm-hmm. for that, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we lift up those that there are so many that are afflicted through tragedies, through wars, many that are yet lost and haven't even heard your name. Pray for the hurting, the oppressed, and those that are depressed. We pray for those that are still without hope. We ask, Lord, that you would touch this morning all across the nation. Hallelujah,
yes.
that you would care. Cover every area in the name of Jesus, wherever your people are, Lord. We know that you can go, and we know that you can make a difference, and we're asking, Lord, that you will. Lord, we pray that you would touch those this morning that need a physical healing, healing of the mind. We pray for those that are mentally afflicted this morning. We pray for those that are in great financial stress and need. We ask, Lord, that you would answer, that you would move in a mighty way.
Lord,
and Father
please.
God, we pray for those that are being abused and continuing to have this fear that so rampant. We ask, Lord, that you would touch in the name of Jesus and allow them to know that with you, there is no need of fear. So we lift them up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray that you would make a difference for them, God, that are continuing to go through in this kind of situation. We ask, Lord,
yes.
that you would move in these areas in Jesus' name.
In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord, that you will continue to expose those, Lord, that are continuing to abuse. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, that their lives will change, that you will touch in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah,
Lord.
That they will no longer want to afflict others. In the name
yes,
of Jesus,
Lord.
Oh, do it, God. Do it, God. We pray that you would raise up leaders, Lord, that will walk in boldness, that will go in the areas, Lord, that others don't want to go in. We
yes,
pray
Lord,
that the
God.
Gospel will be shared all over in Jesus'
yes.
name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, that we will move fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray
Amen.
That many will go out into the highways and the hedges and
yes,
under
Lord.
The bridges
yes,
and in the homeless encampments, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, that many will come to you in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Mm.
Because we will
yes,
go
yes.
out. We will tell him.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
in
Lord.
The name
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray. We know that the harvest is ripe. Hallelujah. We know that there are not many laborers, but Lord, we pray that you will raise up mighty laborers. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that
Lord.
Will go
yes,
out.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, that they will tell them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That the disciples, hallelujah. Hallelujah, will be taught. Hallelujah. Oh, God, that many, hallelujah, many will make disciples. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, your desire is that we multiply. So we pray, Lord, that disciples will be made and multiplied. In the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. We
yes,
thank
Lord.
You. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will free those that are being held captive in the name
yes.
of Jesus in many areas, in many situations, in the jails and the juvenile halls, hallelujah,
yes,
in prison,
Lord,
oh God, in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, that they will not be lacking in hearing of your gospel, hallelujah, that you will continue to send in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord,
yes.
that you will move in the political arena, which is so needed right now. Hallelujah. We
yes,
pray,
Lord.
Lord, that you will move.
Touch.
Hallelujah. That things will be done decently and in order in the
yes,
name of
oh
Jesus.
God. Yes.
Oh, God, that you would raise up those that have a heart, hallelujah, for your people in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you for it, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you, Lord, as you go to and fro all across the nation, hallelujah, that many lives are being changed right now in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift up Spirit Alive Ministries and all the other ministries and churches, Lord, that are listening in this morning, and the listeners all over the globe, Lord, that are listening, hallelujah, that will hear your message that will go out today and be helped in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray for the one, hallelujah, that will be delivering the message, Lord, in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord.
Oh,
yes,
God,
Lord.
We just thank you for what you are doing in the body of Christ. We lift
yes,
up
Lord.
The leader, hallelujah, Spirit Alive Ministries. We lift
bless
her up,
you.
God. We lift up
yes.
Bishop Apostle Charlene Cook this morning. We
bless
lift her
you.
Up, God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen her, that you will help
thank
her.
You,
hallelujah. That you
thank
will continue
you,
to move, hallelujah, in her and through her in the name
thank
of Jesus
you,
for the sake of your gospel. And we
yes,
thank you for
Lord.
It this morning.
Use me,
if there
God.
Are any sick among us this morning,
touch
hallelujah,
Jesus.
Any that are hurting among us this morning, hallelujah, those
touch
that have
Lord.
Need of a hand touch from you this morning, we ask,
yes.
Lord, that you would move in a mighty way, God.
In a mighty
hallelujah.
Way.
Hallelujah.
Thank
oh,
you,
God,
Jesus.
Oh, God, that things will be settled. Things will be changed.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord God.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, God, whatever your people are faced with this morning, hallelujah, we pray, Lord, that whatever it is,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray that you will be, hallelujah, their lawyer in the courtroom. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, come
in
on.
In the name of Jesus. Oh, God.
Yes.
In the name of
Jesus,
we ask the Lord that you would move in a miraculous way, God.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. There are some, Lord, that actually need a miracle this morning.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that miracle will come forth, God, in Jesus' name.
Lord,
hallelujah,
Jesus,
that you will wrought many miracles, hallelujah, through us, your people, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, continue to use us, Lord. Hallelujah,
yes,
your mouthpiece,
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah,
yes, Lord.
Use, hallelujah, us, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
to be your hands and feet. In the name of Jesus,
God.
Oh God,
please,
in Jesus' name. And we pray for your hand of protection upon us, Lord. Hallelujah,
yes,
as we go out, as we carry your gospel, Lord, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you,
right,
Lord.
Now. Amen, yes, and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That was all right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yeah. It was on a day like no other. Your face not discovered. My life was no longer my own, but yours. But then now I'm
Hallelujah. It is now time for the morning message. And this morning, we have our anointed Bishop Lester Carver, who will come forth with a Rhema word that will bless your soul. So please, if you have not retrieved your Bibles, please retrieve your Bibles, get something to write with and to write on, and prepare to receive a word from our very own Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Apostle Cook. I thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with God's people today. And before we get started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us, God, through your son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for our sins being paid for. We thank you for our health being paid for. Father, we thank you for the boldness that we can have in your presence as the result of that blood that was the payment for all of our sin, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us that sense of purpose and direction and clarity and confidence that we need to represent you in the earth so that you can fulfill your heavenly kingdom of many nations. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well,
amen.
I'm going to be sharing with you today how we are all ministers. And in order to really come into the fullness of what it means to know that you are a minister of the Most High, you have to know who you are in Christ. Your Christian identity must be intact. You have to understand that you are three things. You are, first, a son or daughter of God. You are, secondly, a servant of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you are a minister of reconciliation. And I know it must have been 25 years ago when I first heard a pastor of mine share that we were all ministers. And when I heard it, I was in a place in my life spiritually, a place of my spiritual growth and development that I never considered that before. So my mind kind of short-circuited and started thinking upon scripture upon scripture upon scripture to try to substantiate the idea that we're all ministers, to even begin to comprehend that every born-again believer is a minister. It's a hard thing to really comprehend in today's society, because what we have learned to do is we have learned to delegate our ministry that God has given us to others. We've learned to pay other people to do our work. And then as we sit in the pew, we begin judging and evaluating how well the person we have paid to do God's work is doing God's work, when God is saying, no, I need you to do this work. No, I'm giving you provision to do what I've given you to do that only you can do. And if we don't understand who we are in Christ, if we don't know that we are sons and daughters of God, if we don't understand that we are servants of God's Son, Jesus Christ, if we don't understand that we are ministers of reconciliation, then we are not prepared to do what God is asking us to do. So first,
Amen.
God needs to know what his master plan is. What is God's big idea that he just has to have us involved? And God's big idea is that his master plan is that he is in the process of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And he's using you to do it. He's using me to do it. And we, unfortunately, have been in this model as of the church, where we have been delegating to those who know that they are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But we have completely ignored the base. We've completely ignored the majority of all of the body of Christ, which are those ministers of reconciliation. They're the ones we're supposed to be equipping to get the job done. That's why you need apostles. You need prophets. You need evangelists. You need pastors. You need teachers. And if these are doing the job, then the majority, the ministers of reconciliation, have what they need to go out into the world and reconcile the world back to God. See, that's what that big word reconciliation means. It means to bring something back to its rightful place that it was always designed to be in, so that it can be used for the purpose it was always designed to be used for.
Come on.
So,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have two different types of pens, right? You have a Pentel and you have a Bic. And those two pens have different pen caps. And if you have a pen cap for a Pentel on a Bic and a pen cap for a Bic on a Pentel, it's not going to fit, right? So what happens is when you take the cap that was designed for the Bic and you put it on the Bic and the cap that was designed for the Pentel and you put it on the Pentel, it fits because it goes in the place that it was originally designed to go. What we have in the world is a situation where we all came out of the world. We were all slaves to sin at one point, but because God knew that we were designed to be a part of his kingdom. We were designed as his children, and we happen to be enslaved in sin. We happen to be in the world, but God knew in his foreknowledge that we were going to receive his son Jesus Christ as our master. And so because he knew we were going to believe, he said, I'm calling you out of the world that you've not been designed to be in, and I'm putting you in your rightful place that I've always designed you to be in, which is in the kingdom of God. So what he did was he took the pen cap off of the Bic that was designed to be on the Pentel, and he put it on the Pentel. He put you in the kingdom of God because that's where you were always designed to be. I remember when I was out there in the world, and I found myself in a specific type of club. And in this specific type of club, I had a waitress come up to me and say, you don't belong here. What are you doing here? And I of course, in my current state, in my state at the time, I directed that waitress to go get my drink and keep her mouth shut.
Well,
but sometimes people see in you and on you and around you what you think disclosed to others. People know when when they have someone who is not of that place, someone who's out of place, they see you out of place.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing in here?
Amen.
Okay,
so
tell the truth.
What happens is when we understand what our identity is in Christ, then we can begin to deliberately walk into who we are. But then it's important for us to know what we're supposed to be doing, why we're supposed to be doing it, how we're supposed to be doing it, so that we can then support and encourage others who are out of place. We can support and encourage others who don't know what they're supposed to be doing. We can help bring them to an of why they're so important to God, because a lot of people don't even know what separates me from somebody who's not saved. I'm out here suffering too. I'm out here getting sick from time to time too. I'm out here having my account from time to time.
Come on, that's right.
When I'm experiencing pain, so what's the difference? What's the difference, right? Well,
amen.
Before we get to the difference, I want to start with a foundational scripture. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 19. And it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the means of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, right? So when Jesus Christ was on earth, God was in his son Jesus Christ reconciling the world back to himself. And now that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, it is God in Christ and Christ in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are continuing that job of reconciling the world back to God. That's all it is. It's the same Christ was doing when he was here himself, but now he's doing it through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have to be going out boldly so that wherever we are, whether you're at your job, whether you're in your house, whether you are at the park, whether you are at the grocery store, no matter where you are a minister of reconciliation. You are winning souls. People are watching you. They know who you are. Yeah. Sometimes even when you don't know who you are, when you are desperately out of place. As I mentioned, when I was in the club, and it was not just the club, I was in a strip club, and they were like, hey, what are you doing in here? And I said, hey, get my drink. Well, when you are in your place in the kingdom, you know where you belong, because it removes you from where you were and places you where God would have you to be. Now, when I was in the world, I didn't have steps. And now that I'm in the kingdom, I don't have steps. You have to walk all the way to who you are in Christ and walk in that authority so you don't settle for less than God's best. You don't settle for less than God has called you to, because we are children of the Most High. You are first a son and daughter of God. Second, of God's son, Jesus Christ. And everything you're doing on his authority, because it was given to you to do through him, through the Holy Spirit within you, and now you're doing that. So for me, I am a teacher, an ordained teacher, and my job is to teach faithful people who are able to teach others also. That is my call. And so what happens is when they give that word to somebody else, and I know that I've done my job. And so that is supposed to be equipping those ministers of reconciliation who are to take that word and go out and share it with somebody else so that they can reconciliation from the God, so that what we are talking about can be realized in the world. And then that last piece, to understand we are all first ministers of reconciliation. Before I was an ordained teacher, I was a minister of reconciliation. And I had to know that what I did mattered, that people are watching me because I'm a living epistle. I'm not just quoting scripture. People are looking at my life over time, over decades, and they're saying, wait, I know Lester Carver. I know who he used to be, and he was no joke. And if you were working for Lester Carver, you had something to deal with. And then you see a transformation, and you're like, well, he operates differently now, and I don't understand
That's right.
And he's effortlessly, and he hasn't cussed anybody out in a long time.
Well, that transparency calls you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And people are expecting that for you. And so look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, but all things have become new. I'll tell you, if somebody told you or anybody else that they saw me in a strip club over the past 25 years, they're lying. They're lying.
Well, praise Jesus. Now.
The other thing is that I had former business partners called me into their business when they were away in around the country doing business, because they wanted somebody who was going to be that pit bull, like shaking everybody up and taking control and all that kind of thing. And they were like, well, that's not happening anymore. What changed? And there were
well,
people follow your example of peace. And they're like, well, you got control, but a different kind of control.
There it is.
You just say you're in charge to be in charge. And my thing is authority walks in authority. You have to understand there's a difference between perceived power and real power. And when you
come
walk
on.
In the
authority,
you're not faking. And you don't have to tell anybody you're in charge because
now.
You are.
That's right. Amen.
Say that. I already know that. Come on.
So
look at
what it says in Romans chapter 5. Now, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5 because this is going to really get to how we came to walk in this place of privilege as being sons and daughters of God and servants of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and ministers of reconciliation. Look at what it says in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. That word justified means just as if you never sinned. If anybody has ever used the word processing program on your computer, if you fully justify something, it makes all the spaces within the words perfect so that on both sides of the text, it's perfectly straight, right? That's how it is. Therefore, being justified, we're justified by faith. So when we get saved, our faith in Jesus Christ straightens out the crooked places. And then it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And see, when we are in that place of peace, then we're beginning to walk into what God has called mankind to from the beginning. Remember what God said to Adam? He said, be fruitful and multiply, right?
Yeah.
Now, that fruitfulness is not just physical. It's spiritual. Yes,
Amen.
The world got full of people. But spiritually, God is looking for us to be spiritually fruitful. He's looking for us to win those souls for the kingdom that he called from the beginning of time to be his children, and he knows who we can reach. See, there's no one who's been through our path and our journey the way we've been through our path and our journey.
Yes.
And when we know how to minister to other people who've been through what we've been through, then those are the people that we know we can reach with credibility because they're like, okay, what are you talking about? You know where I've been. You understand. And so it's difficult for somebody who doesn't have six kids, who doesn't have their own business, who hasn't been married for 35, 34 years, to tell me about being a father or being a businessman or anything like that with credibility. But those who have and who have spoken into my life, and I'm like, yeah, you have six or more kids. Yeah, you did have a business. Yeah, you can relate to what I'm going through. I'm going to listen to what those people say more than I'm going to listen to somebody else because I know they know what they're talking about. Now, spiritually, that really doesn't have it doesn't necessarily disqualify you, but I'm telling you that in the world, the people that we minister to, they want to know that we know what we're talking about. So if somebody who has dealt with drug and substance abuse and alcohol abuse issues speaks to someone who's dealt with drug and alcohol abuse issues, they're coming from a place of credibility and knowledge. And they can say, hey, you know what? God can heal you the way he healed me, right? So whatever we've dealt with, instead of looking that at as a point of shame, you have to look at that as the qualifications to minister to those people who are going through what you went through right now. And just like you,
you can
say, look, if God could deliver me, he can deliver you. And you can say it with all authority, right? So now we have to understand that being fruitful and multiplying is physical, right? First, but before physical, it's spiritual. First, we have to be saved. We have to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we have to pray. We have to speak in tongues. And we have to witness to others. That's how our spiritual wholeness takes place. Physically, we have to rest. We have to fast. We have to feast. There are times of feasting. There are times of fasting, and there are times of rest that the Bible calls us to. And if we don't rest once a week, if we don't fast as God leads us to, if we don't feast in those times of celebration, then we're going to find ourselves physically taxed, physically weak, physically unprepared to meet the challenges God is calling us to, right? But then there is that mental fruitfulness, that mental abundance, right, that comes from studying God's word, that comes from meditating on God's word, that comes from delighting in God's word. And so when you have that mental wholeness where you're being fruitful and multiplying mentally, you're studying God's word, you're meditating on God's word, you're delighting on God's word, and then God is giving you the desires of your heart, and now you're walking into emotional wholeness by staying your mind on God and allowing God to give you perfect peace. Look at this. It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? So it is that is making the peace of God, peace with God, available to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so emotionally, we're at peace. We have perfect peace. And that is something that you can't just go out and buy in the world, right? It also says that when we love God, we love ourselves, we love others, we have no fear, right? So when you talk about emotional fruitfulness, multiplying in your life, right? When you know that you're loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, you're loving yourself and you're loving others, that removes fear from your life. And fear causes so much damage. It causes damage to you physically. It causes damage to you spiritually. It causes damage
to you
emotionally. And then ultimately, it can cause damage to you financially. And see, that is the last point of wholeness, is financial wholeness, is when you give, when you learn to give, it says it will be given to you without limit. God is not going to withhold any good thing from you because he already gave you his first and his best. He gave you his own son, Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
And to pay for your wholeness, and after paying the best of what he had for you, what else is he going to withhold from you? Right? So you have to learn how to boldly walk into what he's already given you. But you know what? If you're not doing the work you've been given to do, then your question is, am I worthy? Am I worthy? You know what? You might not be doing that work because you don't know what yours to do, because some guy calling himself a pastor has made you believe that he can do it all as long as you keep paying him. And you know what? That's not biblical. It's not what God's word says. Look what it says here. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right? So we have access to God. We don't have to go through anybody to get to God, except
we go to
God through his son Jesus Christ. Now we need to know that. We need to understand that the mediator between God and man is God's son Jesus Christ. So when we pray to God, we pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of his son Jesus Christ. But in terms of paying, in terms of acknowledging any person, you don't need to go through any other person. We go directly to the throne of God. See, in the Old Testament, it wasn't available for them to do that. They could only go before the throne of God once a year through one man who was the Jewish high priest of the children of Israel, and he could atone for the sins of the people once a year, right? Mm-hmm. And they had to put a cord around his foot in case he died in the presence of God if he wasn't worthy, and they had to pull him out because they couldn't go in there before the throne of God even to get the dead high priest.
Come on, teach.
One of us can boldly go before the throne of God, and we're passing through the blood of Christ. We're passing through the veil of Christ so that when we are before the throne, Christ is behind us and the throne of God is before us, and that is called the secret place of the Most High. So when you're taken into that place, it's not a place of fear. Nobody can get in that because Christ is behind you and the throne of God is before you. Why do you need to speak in tongues as often as possible? One, and Minister Adam Tuggle did a great teaching yesterday on this. He was talking about thankfulness. And the Word of God says that when we speak in tongues, we're giving thanks well to God, right? We're going into the Thanksgiving season. You are praying in your heavenly prayer language. You are building up your inner man on your most holy faith, and you are in the secret place of the Most High. You are untouchable in that place, right? That is why. That is why we want to be fruitful. We want to multiply. We want to know who we are in Christ and understand we're all ministers. Don't let anybody talk you out of who you are, because some blessings. I'll tell you, there was one time I was ministering. I remember I started ministering on Facebook. I was ministering to a whole bunch of people, and some of the people that I'd been engaged with in the past, my friends, they started sending me money, and I started taking it to my church. I didn't know, you know. And so my thing is this: when God gives you provision to do the work that he's given you to do, sometimes that provision is for the work he's given you to do, right?
That's right. Now
I don't know that God wasn't telling me to give that money to the minister I was giving it to, because I'm sure that minister needed that money, and I know he did use it. As a matter of fact, I know he used it, because the ministry was thriving. If I were to receive those resources today, I know that they would be used for what God would give me to do, so that I can encourage others and support others so that they can do what God is giving them to do. And understand, that's how the body of Christ works, so that we're all about this business of reconciling the world back to God, because we know God's plan. God's plan is he's creating a kingdom of many nations, and he needs us to do that. So look at what it says here. It says, not only do we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
This is powerful
because that love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that's given to us freely, is what dispels fear. And we should be afraid of tribulation. When it comes, and we're not rejoicing only in the hope of the glory of God, we're rejoicing in the tribulation also that we're sharing in, just as Christ shared in it, right? How to do it. He said you do it without resistance to others.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Without vengeance. Without participating in the complaining and the murmuring and the whining.
Come on, Bishop.
We are being given more patience, more experience, and more hope. So when we're going through tribulation, we are rejoicing, because we know God's preparing us for the next assignment, which is always more challenging than the previous assignment, right? So he's strengthening us, giving us patience that we are in need of. If you look at your early Christian walk and you look at the spiritual immaturity and the things that you did when you didn't know, those times you wrote checks when there was no money in the account.
That's transparency for you. Hallelujah.
You know what? We were all there. So, that experience where somebody came at you, and instead of doing what God told you to do, you came back at them, and then God had to tell you, you know, that wasn't the way to handle that, right? And
man,
showed you,
man, see.
The connection between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I'm going to speak so that we can put it in context. Knowledge of what God's word says. It says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, a knowledge of his word. Then wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. It's using the knowledge that you get from God through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, right? And then when God gives you that knowledge, then he gives you word of wisdom, what to do with the word that comes through the Holy Spirit, right? Now,
yeah,
as a result of application of that wisdom that uses the knowledge over time, you begin to know and understand why to do things, why not to do other things. And that knowledge of why and wherefore and when, that's called understanding. And you can only get that through the long-term application of the knowledge that you're given. So you get knowledge of what God is telling you, then you use that knowledge with wisdom, and then you get an understanding, and you begin to understand why God has you do certain things. God is having you do
hallelujah.
He's having you do things to his kingdom. He's having you do these things to preserve your reward in heaven, right? So he's saying, look, I need you to pray secretly so that I can reward you openly. I need you to fast secretly so I can reward you openly. I need you to do your good deeds so I can reward you openly. And I need you to forgive openly so that I can forgive you.
Come on.
Learning how to do God's word. Get the patience, experience, and hope, because we learn that it's not about us. It's about the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost being made available to others. Look at what it says here in Romans 5, verse 6. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We were ungodly.
Yes.
We were without strength. But Jesus Christ died for us. And it says, look, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies of God,
thank you, Jesus.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, much more be reconciled, be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. See, we receive the payment for our sin through God's son, Jesus Christ, that was sent to die for our sin. And see, when we understand that so much damage was done by one man's disobedience, Adam, that the same level of restoration, the same level of wholeness had to be available through one man, and that one man was God's son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead. Much more, the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. We have to understand that it is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that grace has abounded to many, just like sin infected all of mankind. Jesus Christ died for all men. And children's sin. And when we understand that, the problem in what is the unforgivable sin? To reject that payment. Because, see, that payment was for one sin. But because God knows in his knowledge who is going to receive that payment for their sin and make Jesus Christ the Son of God their master, and who is not going to believe to receive that, then God is just taking note. God knows what you are going to choose. God says, I set before you life and death. And then he says, choose life. But God knows how you're going to choose, because there are three things that make God God. God is all-knowing. The big fancy word for that is omniscient. God is all-powerful. Big fancy word for that is omnipotent. Omnipotent. And God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. That big word for that is omnipresent, right? So God knows that you are going to receive his son Jesus Christ as your master. And so because of that, you can know that one plants and one waters, but God
is there. Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Have pride.
Amen.
Because there is no pride in fruitful service to God.
Come on,
so
come on.
If you are an apostle, evangelist, you're a pastor, you're a teacher, first you're a minister of reconciliation.
That's right.
So when
amen.
About, we get excited about speaking in tongues. We get excited about ministering and witnessing to others the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, right? And then we share with people our testimony. And you know what?
Yeah.
The people who are attracted to you are people who are just like you because they see you. They remember who you were. They know where they met you. And you can speak to them with knowledge based on whatever they're ensnared, whatever they're trapped by right now that they think is all that can happen. And you can relate to them and you can say, you know what? You don't have to be bound by sin forever because this
sin
is taking you away from all the things you say you want that you can have, and all you have to do is say yes to God's son, Jesus Christ, and make him your master and Lord, and you'll become a child of God. You will become a child of God, and you'll have the things you say you want. You say you want to live a more than life, but you think the abundant life is money. It's only 20% of everything you're looking for, one-fifth of everything you're looking for, but God has available for you physical wholeness, spiritual wholeness, mental wholeness, emotional wholeness. Enjoy financial wholeness if you are emotionally unstable, if you're mentally unbalanced, if you're spiritually disconnected from God, and if you're physically ill. Is giving you the answers. Now, the other thing, the last thing I want to point out here today before I close out is that everyone shares in the spoil of the kingdom. God wants for you to have your rewards intact when you come before the throne.
Yes.
But those who don't do the work, their rewards might not be intact, but they're going to be in heaven because they're saved because God already paid the price for them. Right? But I'm not here to tell you what to settle for. I'm telling you what to walk into. If God is letting you hear this teaching today, he's letting you hear it so that you can move forward and walk into the fullness of his abundance and receive the full reward. See, there are going to be three types of people in heaven. There are going to be people with a full reward. There are going to be people with a partial reward. There are going to be people with no reward. I'm not even talking about the people not in heaven. I'm talking about the people in heaven.
In heaven.
Right?
Now, come on.
We have to build ourselves up and know that this is not a joke and read God's word and then test it out for yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone out today,
yes,
God. Someone mightily today. I thank you for you letting them know how important they are to you. And I thank you for you blessing your word with fruitfulness and great expectation of your children right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And glory to God. What a powerful, powerful word. Now, Pastor Vanessa, please come forth and bind, seal, hallelujah, this powerful message with prayer because, once again, if there was ever a message that needs to be grafted in the heart, the mind and the spirit of every blood-washed believer, this is one of those messages. So, Pastor Vanessa, please come forth.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, today for the word that we heard, we thank you, Lord, today for the vessel that delivered it, that you replenish everything that was poured into this message through your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, today that this word is going to deliver. This word will strengthen. This word will fortify. This word will restore. I thank you, Lord, today that even with the understanding as we go over the word and study on our own private time, that you begin to open up the eyes of our understanding about the call and what it really is versus what we think it is. We thank you for unique giftings and gift mixes, Father God, as you begin to do a new thing. You're always doing a new thing in us. And as we express that collectively, Lord, that we walk away from tradition, that as we walk away from those things that don't, as we mishandle the word. So I thank you, Lord, today for ears that will continually hear what was spoken today.
Yes, Lord.
Bishop Carver, as well as the things that you've laid on our hearts to fortify, that the roots go deep in the name of Jesus, that there is fruitful understanding, Father God, so we can see the application and win souls as we are reconcilers to Christ in the world. And I thank you, Lord, today for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us have peace. Amen.
Amen. You have heard a powerful word. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You heard it with transparency. Hallelujah. Because here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we're here to lift up and to fortify. We're not here to judge or condemn. Everything done here is done out of love, because we truly want you to be delivered. We want you to be saved. We want you to be sanctified. Yeah. We want you to be Holy Ghost filled. We want you to walk into that abundant life, because we, hallelujah, have received those benefits. We have tasted and seen that the Lord is truly good. And there's room for everyone at God's table.
Amen.
So right now, if you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if you have not put yourself in a position to receive the blessings of God and the knowledge of God and the understanding of God and the wisdom of God, we beseech you today to come as you are. Oh, hallelujah. And the good news is you don't have to dress up and go out and stand before a crowd of people to confess your sins. All you need to do is bow your heart and ask the Lord and Savior to come in and rescue you. All you need to do is first let him know that you believe that he is the Son of the living God. You believe that he came, he died, and he rose just for you. Then you need to tell him your sin. You need to confess that sin. Hallelujah. You need to say, Lord God, I repent of my sin. Come into my life and save me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then you need to begin to thank him. Because thank at you, that Jesus. Very moment, the moment that you call on his holy name to come into your life, you are gifted with the gift of salvation. You are gifted with the gift of forgiveness. You are gifted with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God will begin to do a work in you so that you can go out and minister. And maybe you won't stand on a platform and speak to thousands of people. Maybe your ministry will be the ministry of just smiling at the homeless people, letting them know that they're not invisible. Maybe your ministry will be just in showing that love to those young girls that are lost. Maybe your ministry will be just going out to the prisons and reminding them that Jesus came to set the captives free. But you got to begin. By making him your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. All you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin, because I truly do believe you are the Son of the living God. Come into my life and save me for your name's sake. And then, Lord, teach me how to love you. Teach me how to serve you. Teach me how to be that minister of reconciliation. Teach me to make disciples as you make me a disciple. Lord, I just want to give my life over to you for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you said that prayer,
Hallelujah. On behalf of all of us here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we just want to welcome you to the family of God. And we just want you to know that we love you, and we're here for you, and we are here to teach. We are here to edify and equip, because we want you to be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. But we also, hallelujah, want you to find yourself a local church or a place where you are fed, where Jesus is being taught, where Jesus is being demonstrated. Find yourself a place where people will come along beside you and pray with you. And hallelujah, stand beside you and just help encourage you and lift you up. And then I want you to study to show thyself approved. Because, see, you now have the gift of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And he will help you to know all the things of God. So, most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for every person, every soul that just changed their eternal address by making you their Lord and Savior. Father God, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that they will find a safe place, Lord God, to learn of you and to grow in you and to serve you, Father God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would not allow the enemy to snatch their seeds of faith before it has time to take root and go deep. Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around our new converts. And we pray, Lord, that you lead them to the proper place where they can grow in your image, Lord God. And Lord God, I just want to thank you now for every servant leader that was present here today that helped to lift up and glorify your holy name. Lord, I pray that you just pour into each and every servant leader that was here. Lord, I thank you for their faithfulness and their obedience. And Father God, I praise you that they are truly ministers of reconciliation. And they are not ashamed of the gospel. And they do share it everywhere they go, Lord God. They have answered the call, Lord. They're going boldly out into all the world, just as you commanded. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity. We just praise your holy and righteous name. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. You have indeed been listening to the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. We just want to thank everybody for listening. We want to thank everybody that was in the chat room listening via your computers. And again, we pray that you heard something that truly uplifted your spirit and blessed your soul. We pray that you continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, we invite you to come out and stand with the anointed servant leaders of Spirit Alive as we have a prayer, praise, and testimony service, because we want you to know God is still in the prayer answering business. God is, and he is still worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We don't care what the situation may look like. We don't care about the chaos we see and the crazy things we hear. We know our God is working it out. So come on out so we can give God some praise and glory tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, as the Mighty Servant Leaders will be bringing teachings on Thanksgiving, teachings on praise, teachings on prayer, however the Holy Spirit leads them. There you can share your testimony in the name of Jesus. So just come on out and just give God glory with us. Also on Tuesday, you can listen to, once again, our anointed bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, for his Tuesday night teachings. Thank you, Jesus. And then we just want to glorify God, and if you at all times. But then we just want you to also know that the most important voice that you listen to is the voice of God himself. So as Bishop said, we want you to be excited about your newfound conversion, but also take the time to really stop, listen, hear, and allow yourself to be taught, because we want you to get it right the first time. Yeah. So my brothers and sisters, on behalf of myself, Minister Tina Brown, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and of course our beloved Apostle Zeta Flowers. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly until we meet again. Hallelujah. Go in peace. You are dismissed. But remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful and blessed week from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience and the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you, everyone. Beautiful service, my family. I love you. God bless you.
God bless you. Love you.
Love you all. God bless you.
God bless you all. Bye now.
Bye now.